Great to be at Concord Golf Club in Sydney this morning. It is their annual charity golf day and they're raising funds for multiple sclerosis here today. It sold out around 3 weeks ago as well. So one of the good tracks in Sydney, no doubt about that. And a bit chilly, Josh Reynolds. Feels like for the first time this year outside this morning.
It is, isn't it? I don't like the cold, Middo.
No, I'm not a huge fan either.
I don't know about me. Yeah, I'm not making any excuses, but it might be a bit hard to swing today.
Gee, that is an early excuse. You'll be fine.
Both of you blokes.
I've got team members to help me out, so I'll be right.
Gee, if you're relying on me, you'll be extra worried. Has Loz got some happiness yet this morning? Yeah, it looks like he's back. All right. If you're just tuning in, you had some tunnel dramas getting here.
I have tunnel dramas. So I'm always upset.
Paid a lot of tolls. Yeah. What about this one too? Big Eck at Cowra. Texting in, morning boys, living in country New South Wales. I dread having to go to the Big Smoke, but had to go to Bike Biz on Parramatta Road to pick up a motorbike. After training at the Central, the lovely lady at the ticket counter was very helpful and directed me to the train at Platform 4 to get to Parramatta. Unfortunately, she neglected to tell me to get on the second train, not the first. As a result, I ended up in Wollongong. What a nightmare.
That's worse than mine. I feel for you.
I wonder at what point you were sitting there going, something's not right here.
Parramatta shouldn't be this too far. Shouldn't be this far away.
Don't worry. There's the old Scone Cup story a couple of years ago when I got on a bus which ended up at Muswellbrook at 11 o'clock at night and had to find our way back to Scone.
Have you ever jumped on public
Thanks, Matt
transport
Albury for that.
And fallen asleep? Have you ever caught a train into the city or going anywhere and maybe fallen asleep on it?
No, I actually haven't. Yeah.
Just tolls like me. You just get a bit confused.
I'm not a good... But the thing is, I'm probably worse lost because I do it all the time.
Right.
I've done it multiple times with the new ones. And I don't know what it is. It's the nav man. He's not there. That's what I thought. Yeah. Surely with all the technology we've got now in the world, the nav man has to work in the tolls.
Well, and it should tell you, veer here. Like tell you, verbally.
Can I be honest with you? Middo's a bit like, come on, boys, just go to the exit and turn left. Archer.
Have you done it before?
No, I hadn't done that.
Were you confused in the tunnel?
It was getting in the right lane to make sure you're in the right
Did you
tunnel.
Come over Anzac Bridge?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then I did see a sign that said Concord Road.
I saw the sign, but it was a kilometre away.
Yeah.
And then I'm driving, waiting for the sign to say exit to Concord Road. Right. And there was no exit. It just kept going. And then I realised...
Then you're Olympic Park.
That's exactly right. Rose Hill.
Which is tomorrow.
And then had to do a Yui and get myself back to Concord Golf Club.
Well, you live to tell the tale, Loz.
I did, and I was lucky there was no one on the road. Well, there was people on the road, but it's not as busy as it possibly could be at 6:30 or 7 o'clock this morning.
Give us a call.
But anyhow, I had a blow-up. I'm all right now.
1353 0419 767 272 on the text line. Did I see you shaving Terry Lamb's hair yesterday? Did you give him like a mohawk at the back too?
It looks so good. I left a mohawk and he didn't know that I left it. I was just going to let him go, but I couldn't. Me and Terry, we work a fair bit together now and I couldn't do it to him, but he looked good. He looked like one of those Vikings, like a little Terry Lamb Viking. It was for the Great Shave.
World's Greatest Shave,
another great cause. And I'll tell you one thing.
It's for leukemia, isn't it?
For leukemia, sure. And it was at Young Academics, one of the dog's major sponsors put it on. And a couple of the women in the organisation, they didn't shave their hair, but, you know, their hair was to the bottom of their back, and they cut half of it off.
Yeah, right.
I'm so nervous. Yeah. The poor lady's like, because it's...
It would have taken them a long time to grow.
Yeah, and they were shaking, but no, it was obviously...
And did any of the players get their hair shaved?
No. So Reedy was there. He fancies himself, so Reedy, he didn't... But Connor Tracy got his hair sprayed, coloured, and they were into me. They were like, well, why don't you get yours done? But obviously, I've got a bit of, you know, my hair's had a bit of tinkering to it. And
you're a television star. Well, mine might not come back.
That's the thing. What if it doesn't come back? And I've done all, you know, I've had a bit of work done to it, and it might not grow back. So that was my issue. So I was the shaver. That was my role yesterday.
Nothing wrong with that.
Take us into Dogs camp this week. Now you've got the Titans, don't you? Belmore, multicultural round. So how's the mood? How's it all feeling? I hope Kieran Foran's back for the Titans this week. It's a big boost for them.
Yep.
And of course, Josh Adokar still won't be back after that shoulder injury he copped in round one against Para. So how's the mood in the camp? How's the coach? And how's everyone feeling for a game? I think you were just the slightest of favourites for. I'll check that market with Tab. But at Belmore, I see you. I think you've only won two of your last 11 at Belmore. Got to turn it around at the spiritual home, Grubby.
Have to. Yeah, someone has actually said that to me yesterday, Mido, and I could not believe it. But, yeah, look, it's always a big occasion there. And we got to start winning there because, as you just said, that's the thing. It's people will be like, how don't you win at Belmore? And you sort of sit there and go, yeah, how don't we? Because the crowd's pumping and it's all happening. Multicultural day, amazing experience last year. I'm not sure if you boys seen, but all the boys, you know, had their national flags around their necks. And we actually walked from the Leagues Club with the fans down to the stadium. So that's the one thing I do love about Ciro, is really engaging all the fans.
Is it happening again?
I'm actually not 100%. I probably should know that considering I do work there. But
you've got a lot of jobs.
But from the footy perspective, it's a very winnable game for us. As you said, Foran's back, big danger man for them. But look, if we've got the same defensive resolve and we just keep moving forward from these couple of games, I think we can definitely win. It's definitely not panic stations down there, Mido. That's the one thing I'll say. Look, I'll be honest, if I was 0-2 and coming in to a round 3 must-win game,
edgy,
I would be edgy, yeah. But, you know, speaking to a few of the boys yesterday, the good thing is I think they know it's not, you know, it's not just going to happen straight away. It's sort of, you know, building blocks each week. And look, as a fan, you do not want to hear that. I get it. But at the same time, we, as a team, we're still finding our feet. You know, Birdo had a great game last week. He had 10 runs for 120-odd metres, and that's what we need. When Birdo's running, I think we're a better team.
Yeah, I think it's nearly a must-win for the Dogs. Otherwise, the noise will get louder and louder. And I understand and I get patience, because I think the Bulldogs need to be patient. But just getting the fans to understand that and buying in that this is a long-term fix rather than a short-term fix. But what we do know is that if South win this week, we as the media, we're looking for another story. And this story possibly could be the Dogs. So I'm hoping that they play well and take a bit of pressure, because I think he is. I think he's a very good coach, Cameron. But Des would have been disappointed with the way that Titans performed in round one. Then they've had the bye. So they come in here pretty prepped up. And Des would love nothing better than coming back to Belmore.
Oh, yeah.
We haven't really said that, have we?
No, yeah. Desi coming back to Belmore. But, yeah, I think this is a tough game. But they've been, I know people will disagree with me, but they've been more than competitive, I think, in the opening 2 weeks, the Dogs. I know the scoreline in the game one went against them heavily, but I thought,
it was 26-8.
At times they were quite gritty and tough, and they hung in there. And then last week against the Sharks, a bit the same. A few things go their way early, you still might not have got the result, but yep. I still think it was closer than what people think. So as long as I don't get too dejected by the losses in the opening 2 weeks, I think they should win this game.
Yeah.
They should win this game.
I agree. And like last week, Loz, and I know this, it's not an excuse why we lost, but kick our scores that try if the ref didn't get in the way. It's just it's a different mindset for the boys. They get that bit of belief. you know, we're in this game. We're 6-6 against Cronulla at Shark Park. And, you know, as a player, probably as a coach too, Lodge, you just where we're at, we need that.
Yeah.
We need those little wins in games. And, look, that's there's many, multiple things that happened in that game that were good and bad for the Dogs. But I just feel, you know, if we do start well here and we do get a bit of confidence, we can go on with it. Because, yeah, the Titans didn't look great in their first game either. But, yeah, we need to win. And I'm actually interested to see, because at Belmore, it's a bit different. A call, you can be hidden up elevators, escalators. There's no hiding in Belmore. You've got to walk through the middle to get to the box. I think he's going to cop it, Paul Dizzy. He is going to cop it with his little hair flick.
Well, small firm for the Dogs with Tab, $1.80 into $1.77. The Titans have been $2 out to $2.05. Skinny line, $1.50. Dogs, the minus. We got Ross on the line. G'day, Ross. I'm sure you've got some mail for us. How are you going?
Yeah, I'll leave that to last. But with multicultural around, some of the fans will see their teams for the first time this season. Also, too, you know the top teams will have the full grounds. But the two teams down the bottom at Leichhardt Oval will be jumping and Belmore will be jumping. And also, too, Laurie, I've got an all-up, too, I'll tell you in a minute.
Oh, yes, I love them ones, Rossy.
All right, now, I've got the mail for you, men.
Yeah, what have we got? What's happening around the tracks?
Wayne Bennett at South 25 with his old mate, Dane Gaygai. And also, Stefano's market's moving stronger to be at South. Lomax will be at Parramatta. Parramatta. Yep. And Parramatta fans won't like this. Campbell Gillard will be at the Dragons in 25.
Campbell Gillard?
Yes. Now, what about these young Tigers that the Tigers are signing? How would you like to be his family, this Islander family, when four West Tigers executives turn up to try and sign him? He's 17-year-old, and they're at the front door, and they take him down to Concord to the Centre of Excellence and show him his future. And his contract runs out round six next year. Geez, they'll be overwhelmed. But hopefully his Tigers don't throw another $1 million at a 17-year-old. Their salary cap would be upside down. Now, Laurie, you're all up.
Yes, I'll what have we got? Is it for Saturday?
It's a football and horses.
Oh, righty, yeah, yep.
I'd take all the home teams.
Yep.
Except Tigers and, sorry, Renault. Dogs and
mate.
And Storm Boy as well. Now, one ground is home ground for the same two teams, South and Roosters, because they're in the same area. One side's the beach side, it ends that parade, and one side's the city side. So how can you class that one team's home ground? So if I was you, Laurie, I'd do that.
All right.
Another just win for sure.
Yep.
And also to
Gold Coast, you reckon it'll win?
No, be hard that one, but yeah, it's a little bit of touch up, but they should win that.
All right. Well, what I'm going to do here, Ross, I'm just going to put it in my. So I've gone six home teams plus two away teams in those games that you suggested, and I'm going to throw Storm Boy in as well, and I'll tell you what that comes up with. If you're going to take that multi, it will be. Hang on here. Here we go. That will be, what do I got here? 67 to 1. Ooh.
Something.
Something. So if you have 10 bucks on that, 5 bucks there, 10 bucks, what's that, 670 bucks?
That'll do.
It's unfortunate. He could have got it if he threw the Dogs in there.
Ross, thank you as always, mate. Appreciate the mail and the call and the tips. All right. One of the greatest days of racing on the calendars at Rose Hill, of course, this weekend, Tab Golden Slipper Day. We've got more tickets to Rose Hill Gardens to give away for this Saturday thanks to Tab and the ATC. And by the way, just head to australianturfclub.com.au for more and buy your tickets. So australianturfclub.com.au to buy your tickets there. Today, though, because we're a Concord Golf Club for the MS Charity Golf Day to win four GA tickets to Rose Hill Gardens. That was just for you, Josh.
Wow. Oh, did someone write that?
For Tab Golden Slipper Day, it's be real. Caller 4 1353-53. Caller 4 1353-53 Golden Slipper tickets. Get involved. Yes, here we are at Concord Golf Club ahead of their charity golf day, and plenty will be rolling in soon for a great day as funds are raised for multiple sclerosis here today, and one of those who'll be playing here. He's played 12 Shield matches for New South Wales. He's played with the Sydney Thunder in the Big Bash, and is a member of the East Cricket Club in Sydney as well. Played with some notable names for the Australian 19s back in 2018 as well. Baxter Holt is joining us. Baxter, a very good morning, mate. How are you?
Good morning to you as well. How is everyone?
Yeah, really well, thanks. And, well, firstly, your season. Where are you at as far as your cricket's concerned, Baxter?
Yeah, it was an interesting year. Personally, on field, I feel like it was one of the best ones yet, which is always nice. Just a shame I probably didn't get some of the teams that I wanted to at the start of the year, but that's the way sport goes, unfortunately, and I've got a bit of confidence in my batting, which was tough to come by the last couple of years, so that's a nice tick in the right direction, and I got through a season uninjured, which is the first time in my professional career, which is always good.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that and your cricketing journey. You've dealt with debilitating pain. Tell us a bit about what you've gone through.
Yeah, so in 2019, I think it was, I was playing a game against Pakistan at Bankstown Oval, and I was going about my business. I was keeping, and then I just couldn't get out of one of the squats, and I walked off the field, and the doctor turned me and said, "You're not all right, are you, Baxter?" I said, "Nah." He goes, "How come? What's happening?" I said, "Oh, well, for the past 18 months, he obviously knew some of it, but I've been taking 6 painkillers a day to try and get through this back injury that I was coping with, to try and get up and continue playing my job and what I was paid to do and playing cricket. So, unfortunately, after 18 months, I couldn't really do with the painkillers, the pain, and at the end of the day, I wasn't really sleeping well. I'd get to bed around 1 o'clock in the morning and be up every 45 minutes tossing and turning in pain. So, whereas most athletes and even normal civilians around the world have probably gone through similar things. So, it was just time for me to pull the pin for a bit, and I had a year out and went through rehab and all that journey, which can be a dark and lonely place at times, but we got through it and I'm back to normal now.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Baxter, how did that affect the way that you trained, but also it must have stopped your progression in terms of continually improving and being a part of the New South Wales squad, not full-time, but more regularly?
Yeah, it definitely did. I suppose the 18 months leading up to that, it sort of went from training as much as I could do to literally doing what I absolutely had to be right to play games of cricket, which obviously probably for people that don't know what's actually going on, it's probably not a great look as a professional athlete doing probably not the bare minimum, but not everything you can. And then that year out, we literally just put the cricket kit away for 4 or 5 months and really went through the most basic everyday activities in standing up off a bench properly, running, relearning how to run properly without any pain. So it was a grueling 4 months to return, and then when I came back to cricket, I was only playing as a batter, so there's a lot of questions in how long I could go without keeping, especially when it's my job to keep for a cricket side. So there's a lot of unanswered questions and a few long sleepless nights going through that.
Yeah, Baxter, you obviously spoke about your body and it, you know, letting you down a little bit, but with those injuries comes, you know, the mental side. How did you deal with that, mate? You know, being in and out of teams and, you know, who did help you get through that tough period?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's probably one of the biggest takeaways. I suppose before that, as athletes, or I know I certainly did, all my self-worth was in my cricketing career. And if I did well on the cricket field, then I was happy with myself and I almost felt like that was what gave me worth to the social aspect of people. But throughout that phase, I sort of learned mainly that my self-worth was in helping people or turning up every day and doing stuff for others. So my shift went from a human first element into a cricket second, which is always a nice change. And I suppose I'm lucky that I went through that to realise that pretty early on. But as you said, that year that my back gave up, I was actually off contract. So my contract was up at the end of the year. So for Cricket New South Wales at the time to show the support in offering me another contract, when I suppose the biggest risk was for them to actually pay a kid another year when if he was going to play or not was the biggest doubt they had, really. So I had a lot of faith in them, which was good. But also I was booked in to have surgery 2 days later, and we actually got a phone call from a physio over in Perth that said, mate, I will sit down with you for 3 hours and we can try and figure this out before you go through an operation. So we cancelled the operation, then met up with the physio over in Perth just via Zoom, which was a bit different, but we figured out what the root problem was and we went from there, which was good.
Just around in and around New South Wales cricket, generally, Baxter finished third in the Shield table, in the Shield final starts today, WA and Tasmania over at the WACA. But in regards to New South Wales, Ollie Davies, real bright spot over the course of the summer. Have you had much to do with him as far as playing with or against him over the time, and just how talented is he from what you've seen watching closely?
Oh, he's a remarkable talent. I spent a fair bit of time with Ollie, unfortunately, for probably him or me, depending on which party you like more. So I've watched a lot of him growing up, and he is so talented. And I've said, I did a bit of commentary the last couple of Shield games, and I said it's been great to see how well he's adapted to the red ball stuff. I suppose he's probably been pigeonholed a fair bit over his young career in the T20 and probably never thought that he'd probably participate that well in the long format. But to see how well he's adapted and how quickly he's adapted to the longer form of cricket and actually continue just to back his own game and play his way has been incredible to watch. And I reckon he's going to be a bright star, and I reckon he'll go close to winning the Steve Waugh medal for New South Wales, which is a massive accolade for anyone to achieve in New South Wales.
Well, mate, we really appreciate your time this morning. We'll see you at Concord soon. How's the golf game looking?
Yeah, good. Had a charity game yesterday as well, just to warm up, but I'm really looking forward to this. Obviously, everything goes to MS Australia, which the best thing about these charity golf games is I'm probably like a lot of people in Australia, which don't know a lot about multiple sclerosis, so I'm really excited to learn as much as I possibly can and hopefully donate and see where the money's going to hopefully a great cause.
Mate, really appreciate your time.
All good. I'll see you soon.
Welcome back. Okay, not far away, Evan Priest, to talk some golf. Just some texts here. If you're just tuning in, Loz, of course, had some issues with getting here this morning. Ended up tolls and tunnels. And there's been quite a few texts here, Loz, for you. Morning, Loz. I'm a long-time commuter on my way to Sydney for work at the Easter show for the next week, and then I had a chuckle about Laurie's toll woes. Reminded me when I used to get the train from either Holsworthy or Warwick Farm to the city. Once I got off at Holsworthy, searched the car park for my car, only to realise I was at Warwick Farm. Have a great day today. Tiger Ray from Sussex. Catherine Inverell makes a great point. Morning, lads. A mandatory prerequisite for any loved-up country couple deciding to take their relationship to the next level should be a road trip to the Big Smoke, navigating the challenges of inner-city Sydney. Then you really get to know your partner, says Catherine from
Actually,
Inverell.
That's true. And you know the other one? Is putting up a tent.
Oh, yes.
Putting up a tent.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. You find how strong your relationship is then, because you can have some blow-ups with each other.
Mm. Did Blocker just get a golf cart from the car park to the where we are here at
did
Concord?
Did Blocker come in the wrong car park? Because he came that way, I came in that way.
He did.
Yeah.
It's only about 100-metre, 80-metre walk, if that.
Walty, he says. He'll be joining us in half an hour's time, the great Block. Morty boys, I went to Sydney for a Bucks party. I was on a Larry Hender, a bender, missed the bus back to Orange as the boys couldn't wait, left me behind. So I jumped on the train, fell asleep, woke up at Stewarttown, which is about 20 minutes, half an hour from Orange, past Orange, by the way. Ended up at Mukawa, which is near Wellington, I think. Still in my Saturday night clothes, so I continued my bender, ended up at Orange Monday morning. I was single an hour after I got home, says Damo at Orange.
That's a good effort. That's a very good effort.
Morning, boys. I remember after a big Derby Doncaster day about 10 years ago, I ended up at Waterfall after falling asleep on the train, says Fabian. But where were you supposed to get off, Fabian?
Yeah, I reckon a lot of people would have done that. Fallen asleep.
Definitely.
After a night out.
Boys got a mate who jumped onto the back of a train in Newcastle. Well, geez. Think he would go out to where he was living. After an hour on the back of the train that didn't stop, he rang the police. Ended up out near Muswellbrook. Safe to say the police were not impressed about him riding on the back of the train, says Sean at North Haven. Yeah, not a good idea.
No, we can't be encouraging that.
At all. I read the bike biz one from Eck from Parramatta. Great stuff. Love it. Tonight, Socceroos play Lebanon at Combank Stadium. We'll wrap it all with Mossy tomorrow. Craig Goodwin's out with a virus, so there's a question mark as to who plays out on the left. The Socceroos have been training at the New South Wales Rugby League headquarters there at Olympic Park, and Graham Arnold again lamented just how there's no home base for our national teams. And I certainly concur with him that the Socceroos and Matildas do deserve a national home base, but they just haven't had that government support. And so there he is training for, you know, a World Cup qualifier amongst rugby league posts.
I mean, it is a joke. They should have a home of football.
Mm.
Like most national teams, either have one or they've got a centre of excellence where they can go and train and have the facilities for themselves. And I think soccer, whether it's the Matildas and the Socceroos, they have a one where they both get together and use the facilities. But it's not right when you've got a national team with guys that are playing all around the world and they come back to Australia and they're training on a rugby league field for to try and qualify for a World Cup.
It's not good enough.
No, not good enough.
Australia $1.12 with TAB. Lebanon $21. The draw's $7.50. That's Combank Stadium on 10 Bolt. I think it's on tonight around 8 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. Now, hey, Evan.
I'm good, thanks, Mido. Always good when I hear that intro. Getting fired up for the Masters. It's a couple of weeks away. I'm starting to pack my bags. I leave on the 1st of April, so I'm all good, mate. Springs, American springs in the air, so we are fired up.
We are, and we're fired up too because we're at Concord today, Concord Golf Club, and I'm sure a track you've played, I'm sure, numerous times. It's a great track, one of the better ones in Sydney.
It's a lovely course. I have played it a couple of times. It got restored by a famous American architect, actually, a guy called Tom Doak, who's kind of the rock star of golf course architecture. I thought you were about to say you're at Concord Oval, and then I thought you were about to throw me under the bus with me Tigers because we've got the Sharks this weekend, I believe, but you're at Concord Golf Club. It's a much happier place, I think.
Now, Evan, I think I've asked you a couple of times about what's happening between the LIV and the PGA Tour, but did I see that Tiger's now joined in the negotiations between the Saudi Fund and the PGA Tour?
Yeah, Loz, this thing is just like an episode of Succession. I don't know if you've ever watched Succession, but you had all these huge power brokers fly into the Bahamas or sail into the Bahamas, in Tiger Woods' case, on his yacht Privacy on Monday, and they had these sort of, you know, big high-end negotiations about where this deal is going to go. And Jay Monahan, the commissioner of the PGA Tour, who flew in on the PGA Tour's jet, he sent a text message to the members and said that they had constructive, quote-unquote, talks with the governor of the Saudi Public Investment Fund, a guy called Yasser Al-Ramayn. And I suppose we're half a step closer to hearing about these two sort of, you know, warring entities in golf finally getting together. We keep waiting, but it sounds like they got one step closer and they just had a nice little meeting there in the Bahamas.
Evan, Scotty Scheffler took out the Players' Championship. What a finish. Wyndham Clark with the lip out. Do you think Scotty Scheffler can win the Masters as well, mate?
Yeah, Josh, all signs point to him having the rest of the year kind of like Tiger Woods. You know, it's just, he just keeps winning. He is an absolute freak with the ball striking. He just hits it closer than anybody on the planet. And he's finally worked out the putter. So as a guy who won the Masters 2 years ago, he doesn't have that stress on his back anymore of trying to win the green jacket. He's playing better golf than anyone has in the last kind of 10, 15 years. So, you know, absolutely, you know, get on him to win the Masters. I really can't see anyone beating him there, barring a miracle.
Talking of the Masters, then, how many Aussies will be lining up?
We've got five, actually. We've got four pros and we've got a young amateur called Jasper Stubbs, who won the Asia-Pacific Amateur in Melbourne to get into the Masters. So it's a good little healthy contingent there. Five is, it's not our biggest that we're ever sending, but it's pretty healthy. And we've got four decent chances. You know, we've got Jason Day, who's been second there before. We've got Adam Scott, who's won. We've got the young firebrand Minwoo Lee, who's playing some really good golf. And we've got Cam Davis, the, you know, supreme ball striker. So not a good showing from our boys at the Players' Championship, which is usually a bit of a litmus test for the Masters, considering it's the best field in golf. It's on a course that asks similar questions of players that Augusta National does. And we didn't have a single Aussie in the top 20 for the first time in 18 years. So not a great sign there, but hopefully as they go away and work on their practice, they arrive at Augusta, you know, pretty fired up to maybe be the second Aussie to ever win the Masters.
Is Cam Smith playing in that?
He is, yeah. Cam Smith is right in amongst there, and he's playing on LIV Golf. They've actually got one more start on the LIV Golf Tour. That's in Miami at the Doral course, the famous Doral course that Donald Trump owns. And I guess we'll get a good gauge, because that's quite a difficult golf course. We'll get a good gauge of where Cam's game is at when he goes there. And he just recently lost in a playoff in Hong Kong on the LIV Golf when that tour went to Hong Kong. So it's hard to gauge Smithy's form at the moment, but he's the sort of guy, he's finished second and fifth at the Masters. It really brings out his creative mind, and he's always going to be a threat at Augusta National. We just need him to be in some strong form.
Evan, did I read that John Rahm has made the dinner menu for the...
yes.
What's going on there?
No, this is what
the defending
do.
Champion. Oh, he gets the
is
the
it?
Right.
Yeah, I'm just reading it. It is.
How good's that? What's on the menu? Do we know?
So we do. So, Josh, so get this right. One thing I only found out recently is that the Augusta National makes this big deal out of the Masters champions dinner. So the champion from the year before at each Masters sets the dinner menu, organises the wine, all that sort of stuff. But I only found out a couple of years ago, the champion actually foots the bill for that. And it was Adam Scott that told me that. He got there, jeez. Adam Scott's menu in 2014, the year after he won the Masters. And they get all the living Master champions in the room, and they get the Augusta National champion in the room, and they trade colourful, you know, probably X-rated stories and all sorts of stuff. And Adam, you know, puts on this huge Aussie banquet, mum's pavlova, oysters, Grange, bottles of Grange. And then he gets the bill at the end of it, and he goes, oh, shit, I didn't know that. I didn't know the champion had to pay for it. But anyway, we got John Rahm being a Spaniard. You know, there's a lot of Spanish influence on his menu. He's got some creamy chicken corn fritters. He's got cured pork loin, you know, very Spanish. He's got some spicy Basque chorizo to start. And then he's got a Basque crab salad, and then a choice of the Basque ribeye or a turbot. I don't even know how to pronounce that fish, but Navarra white asparagus. So either fish or a steak option. And then for dessert, he's got puff pastry cake, custard and chantilly cream. So very nice Basque country feast for the Master champion. Yeah. And I'm sure they're going to love it.
Yeah, lots of tapas to start. Sounds good. Sounds good.
Lots of tapas.
I can't believe they have to foot the bill. I know. Well, you know, they got plenty. They're fine.
Loz wouldn't be winning it. He'd be like, I'm not winning.
Imagine DS.
I'd be running second. I'm happy
I'd be lipping out all the time.
Yeah, Mido, it dips into their $3 million, you know, that they won the year before that. So I think they'll be okay, but it always comes as a bit of a surprise to those Master champions. They didn't know that.
I love it. I wonder if Adam Scott's like, instead of the Grange, I just should have gone that, I don't know, that $90 bottle.
I reckon by the end of the day, boys, let's come up with our ones. I've come up with a little one. A pie, a barbecue, a Lamington, and a goon bag. Cheap and easy.
I mean. Imagine what Phil Mickelson would say about that. Okay, so what have we got this week? We've got the Valspar. Who are we tipping?
Oh, throw the kitchen sink on Brian Harman. So,
Ricky Ponting.
You know, Ricky Ponting, you know, do you know that both guys have been asked about that, and they both have seen photos of each other, and they acknowledge, yet we look alike. It's hilarious. But Brian Harman, left-hander, hits it short and straight, very, very sort of strategic golfer, won the British Open last year, got absolutely annihilated in the British press because they were obsessed with his hunting. He hunts with a crossbow, Brian Harman. He's a good old boy from Georgia. And they were just obsessed with the animals that he hunts and how he hunts them. And I remember sitting in the press conference at the British Open at Royal Liverpool, and one of the British tabloid journalists asked him, at what distance are you most deadly? So it was they call him Brian the Butcher over there. But anyway, Brian the Butcher tied second at the Players last week, absolutely playing some phenomenal golf. And the Copperhead course at Innisbrook, which is where the Valspar is, it's a very kind of, you know, dog-leggy, little sort of tight, short, strategic course. Always, not many of the big names tend to win here. It's usually the shorter guys that are a bit more accurate from the tee. So I'm going with Brian Harman for that reason, plus the fact that he tied second last week. He's paying $21. And even, you know, it just wasn't $8 for Xander Schauffele, who was also second last week. Just not enough for me. So I'm going Brian Harman, $21. And then also for a top 10 pick, Canadian Nick Taylor's playing some really good golf at the moment. He's paying $4.25, and it kind of shorts, it suits his shorter game. And then Aaron Baddeley, I'm going with a bit of experience. Bads has played this course plenty of times over the years, and he's 20 years on the PGA Tour. Min Woo Lee's not good enough at $1.37. So Aaron Baddeley for your top Aussie at $5.25. Nick Taylor for your top 10 at $4.25. And Brian Harman to win at $21. Those are my picks this week, boys.
Okay, love it. Did you tip us Wyndham Clark last week? Someone saying on the text line.
I did, yes. I tipped Wyndham Clark last week.
That's devastating.
I know. And what did I say last week? It was $41. And I said, that is absolutely obscene odds for the US Open champion who won Pebble Beach only a couple of months ago, or not even a couple of months ago. And he has a shocking lip out on the last hole to join a playoff. So, if you're riding that cash out option, I'm sorry, but all I can do is lead the horse to the water.
That's it. That is as brutal beat if you rode that through and you had Wyndham Clark, because, goodness, man, it's one of the tougher lip outs you'll ever see. But, mate, thank you. Have a good week, and we'll chat next Thursday.
Thank you, boys. Hope you get to have a hit at Concord today. Lovely golf course.
Yeah, looking forward to it. And another one as far as Catherine Inverell texting Loz about a relationship test being, with your fledgling relationship coming and navigating Sydney. What about this one? Per says, relationship test, put IKEA furniture together with the wife. Get through that, you'll last. Great point.
Yeah, I've never been a big IKEA man.
I like flat packs.
Yeah.
No.
Do you shop there?
Me?
Yeah. I'm hopeless.
I just see the flat packs, I just wouldn't do it.
I couldn't, because
Is it Airtasker? Terrible. Airtasker's good. See, you can go to IKEA, get the stuff, Airtasker.
Airtasker, they put it together for you.
I always have battles on Airtasker with people, but...
What do you mean battles?
Pricing battles.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So how do you... So talk to me about pricing then.
Oh, yeah. So this is actually a funny story. So you put 100 on...
You can put it up online about what you'd charge.
Say it's 100.
And then you go the lowest bidder.
Yeah, but I didn't know. So you communicate with the people, but I didn't know that everyone can see it. So I might have told Charlie that.
Do you go under a fake name? A fake name?
My partner's name. And I didn't know. And then someone's written back to me, mate, you just said 50 to him and 70 to me.
So you got caught out.
I got caught hustling.
Never hustle a hustler.
Couple of texts here. If you really want to test a relationship, get your partner to guide you through using a UBD or Gregory's. The Gregory's, yep. I had an ex jump out of the car, call me words I'd never heard before, and last I saw, she was heading south on York Street in February 1994, says Hatchie from the Heights. Just on Loz saying about doing a tent with your partner, myself, my wife, four kids, just got back from Coffs Harbour for my eldest son to play in the state championships for Oztag. We tented it for the first time. We nailed it, put it up, no dramas. Yes. Then we're leaving. We pack it up, load the trailer again, no dramas whatsoever until it runs to start the car. Babe, where are the keys? Can't find the keys to the car anywhere. My wife, babe, love the babes. Babe, I think I know where they are. They're wrapped up in the tent. Unpack the whole trailer to get the tent out, set the tent back up to find the keys. Safe to say the next 3 to 4 hours driving home was a very quiet trip, says Brad from Helensburg. Sending that one through.
And you'd be blaming each other. Mm. You'd be... I thought I told you. You had to get the keys. Not my responsibility.
Adam Pengilly's next. I reckon he'd be a good, patient tent builder. Adam Pengilly. Adam, good morning. How are you?
Middo, I can barely change a light bulb. How am I going to put up a decent tent or anything like that? I am hopeless at doing that sort of stuff.
Have you ever squabbled over a price on Airtasker?
No, I listened to that story from Grub. That's very amusing, Grub.
He's filthy, though, and I find it funny, too, that you didn't know that other people...
No idea.
I had no idea other people could see your conversations. I thought you're just negotiating exclusively with someone on the side, then go back to the other person, but they can all see it.
Well, that's what I thought, but no, it's like a group text. Everyone's having a chip. No wonder, like, no wonder I couldn't do it. In the end, I was that embarrassed. I pulled it out. I pulled the pin. Get me out of there. Yeah, yeah. Cancel account.
What name did you go under? Honestly, what name did you put on it?
Laurie Daly.
All right, we've got the grand final rematch tonight. The Panthers up against the Bronx. Certainly some big names out, but Joshy was saying earlier, the loss of Payne Haas actually is bigger for the Broncos than the loss of Fisher-Harris for the Panthers. What do you make of it?
Yeah, I tend to agree with that, Middo. I was still looking at the game, and all week I've been wanting to tip Penrith, but gee, I think this price about Brisbane was big at about $3.80, getting close to $4, and then the Payne Haas news came through yesterday morning. It's just probably solidified what I'm thinking about that game. I've got to go with Penrith. I heard Kevin Walters speak last night about Payne's injury. He's going to miss 4 to 6 weeks. That's a fairly significant blow for the Broncos. He'll obviously undergo surgery early next week. It's probably an injury he's been battling for a while to try and get on top of with his knee. I think even last year he might have been having a few issues with his knee, wasn't he, from memory? So that's going to hurt Brisbane in the first, I suppose, 5 or 6 weeks of the comp, but it's probably better to get it sorted now, and hopefully he's right for the origin period and the business end of the season. I think Penrith, they haven't been anywhere near their best, clearly, in the first couple of weeks of the year, but I think they might just have a little bit too much for the Broncos tonight. I think Moses Leota's is going to be so crucial for them in the middle of the park, and to see how they cope when he goes off the field with the likes of Lindsay Smith and Liam Henry and Matt Eisenhuth carrying the burden through the middle. Penrith to win tonight, but not overly confident. There might be a bit of juicing in Brisbane with a 10.5 start.
I see Latrell met with Andrew Abdo yesterday. What came out of that meeting?
Yeah, he met with him last night, Loz. So obviously, as we knew, there's going to be no official sanction for Latrell for his interview that he conducted on Triple M last week and dropping all those profanities. I think, to the NRL's credit, Andrew Abdo wanted to speak to him probably a little bit more about his comments surrounding the judiciary and Spencer Lenu's case before he actually had his hearing heard. We know that Latrell went to social media and said that Spencer Lenu should get a very hefty suspension. To me, that's just a no-no. Like, if you're a registered player with the game, you can provide all the support you like to Ezra Mann or anyone involved in a situation like that, but you can't be lobbying for a player to get suspended for a certain amount of games. So All the messages coming out of that meeting last night was a strong and forthright meeting. Hopefully they're on the same page now. We can all sort of move on from this issue that's been involved in Latrell for the last week or two.
And can I ask then, what happens if someone else does it this year?
Good question, Loz. I don't know. Let's just hope the line's in the sand for all players, so they know where the marker sits. But look, what
because
if you,
you
make
can understand, someone will be, if someone says something and they get fined or sanctioned heavily, they're going to be disappointed.
Of course, and naturally you would be. Let's just hope it doesn't get to that situation. I just thought that, you know, jumping on social media and petitioning or lobbying for someone to get to cop a huge ban from a rival club was not the right thing to do, obviously. So let's hope the message has got through and we won't have a situation like that to encounter for the rest of the year.
Adam, plenty of chat around Zach Lomax. Ben Hunt has come out and said he doesn't want to be at the Dragons. Where do you think he's going to land, mate, if he does leave the Saints? And do you think it'll happen?
Yeah, good question, Josh. If I'm the Dragons right now, there is no way I'm releasing Zach Lomax. A, because they don't have another player probably in their system that can play to the level that he has. B, he's been playing great football in the first couple of weeks of the year. And C, you don't want to give up a leg up to your rivals. The issue for the Dragons is that he's on big, big money. That's the issue. Is he playing up to his price tag? Well, that's obviously debatable, but I think they've got to stand firm here and show a real solid stance. They did it with Ben Hunt last year. Shane Flanagan's been able to, I suppose, navigate those choppy waters and smooth that issue over with Ben Hunt. And I think they should probably do the same with Zach Lomax, at least in the short to medium term. Now, whether Zach Lomax is at the club beyond this year, I still think it's debatable, but they need to get a full season out of him, surely, because they're trying to turn that club around. So Parramatta clearly have expressed some sort of interest to the club and have tried to do it the right way by going through the front door with the Dragons. The Dragons said, no, you can't negotiate with him. He's still a contracted player to us. I still think it's very much a watch this space in the next sort of 4 to 6 weeks, what happens. But if I'm the Dragons, I'm digging my heels in and saying, no, you're contracted to this club. We want you here. You're a big part of it. Keep playing the best football you can.
Now, I was going to ask you about this Fields on Saturday. As far as, well, I'm looking at the Galaxy field now. How good a field is this? And considering the William Reid's on the same day as well, I can't remember a Galaxy field this good, basically, not in recent times.
it's almost the race I'm most excited for, Middle at Rosehill on Saturday. You just have so many different form lines merging. I love the handicap nature of the race, obviously. You've got horses down there on 52.5 and 50 kilos that can make it really interesting. So I know most of the focus will be on the Slipper and the George Ryder and some of the big group ones, but I think this Galaxy is going to be a fascinating betting race. So, yeah, it's a mouth-watering day of racing, isn't it, Middle? Just looking at the fields that came out yesterday. We just want this track to dry out a little bit. If we can start on the soft five, that would be an absolutely ideal result. And I don't think we got as much rain yesterday as what people were forecasting. So that's a good sign. So, yeah, we'll get the track conditions out there at Rosehill tomorrow and get stuck in the form tonight for a big and massive day of racing on Saturday.
We might have seen the end of Gold Trip.
Yeah, unfortunately, Middo, Kieran Maher has announced his stable that Gold Trip has suffered a tendon injury. I don't think it's on the serious side of a tendon injury, but tendon injuries are problematic nonetheless. So he'll be out for the rest of the Autumn Carnival. I'm not sure what his racing future is going to hold. He's been such a great horse for the Australian Bloodstock Connections. I'm sure we'll get some sort of announcement in the next month or two about his racing future, but I think it's probably fair to say it's doubtful we'll see him on a racetrack again.
Thank you, mate.
Hey, boys. We'll chat tomorrow. Adam.